Mark chapter 6 this morning. I am not going to be on this subject, excuse me, for the entire summer. I have been reading and just reading casually and maybe a bit more than just casually, just reading thoughtfully, meditatively over in the book of Ephesians for a while now. And boy, there's just a lot of good material in Ephesians that I'm going to be hopefully sharing with you men over the next several weeks. But I want to talk about something this morning, Gospel of Mark. You got Matthew, Mark in the New Testament there, chapter 6. That's been on my heart now for some weeks. And I thought, you know, the first Sunday we have together as a class of men, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. And look at verse number 30, if you would. The Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Now, in verse 7 of this chapter, you find Jesus sending out the 12 disciples on an evangelistic tour. He gave them power and gave them, of course, the apostolic sign gifts that they were to use, casting out devils to confirm the word and so forth and so on, the ability to physically heal people. Those apostolic sign gifts are no longer used since we have the complete revelation of the Word of God in the Bible now. Those days are over. They will start again in the tribulation period when God begins to work with the Jews again. Signs are always and have always been for His people, not Gentile people. Always have been for Jewish people. That's why all this stuff that's going on in the charismatic churches today, in Gentile churches, is not of God. It never has been for the Gentiles. It's always been for the Jews. So He's giving His disciples power over the power to heal and so forth and so on. In verse number 30, they return from this trip and they begin to report to Christ concerning the events that took place. Now, the place where they were visiting with Jesus must have been a public area, because the Bible says, "For there were many coming and going." So there's a lot of activity here, a lot of public here, okay, coming and going, coming and going. So Jesus said to these men, He said, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Because all these people were coming and going, a lot of activity and busyness, okay? Jesus said, "What you men need is a little time away here, away from the public, away from the crowd." So they then departed in a ship privately into a desert place, a place where there were no people. So Jesus said to them, He said, "Come apart. Come apart and rest a while." And I heard, I think it was either Vance Havner, who said, you know, God's people need to learn to come apart before they come apart. And that's the honest truth. Come apart before you come apart. In the last several months, I have had a growing concern about my own health. I've had a growing concern about the health of my friends in the ministry. I've had a growing concern about the health of the men in our church, especially as you hear the stories of those in the late 40s and 50s and late 50s, you know, having physical problems. And sometimes men have physical problems just because it's going to happen. There's physical problems. But on the other hand, these things seem to be increasing at a rapid pace, you know. I've just had that on my mind. I found myself asking the question, "How's your health?" I used to never ask that, but I find myself asking that question now. To my friends, to some of you men here, I think I asked that to Mike yesterday. We sat down for a minute out at the golf course. I said, "Mike, how's your health?" You know, I used to never think about it. As a young man, you take it for granted. You know, you just don't think about it. It just, man, you're zealous and you have energy and you've got, more than likely, got good health, and you just don't pause to consider it. Maybe it's because of the age I am reaching. You know, for a long time, after I came here, the vast majority of the men in our church, and this won't be a deep Bible lesson this morning. We get into Ephesians next week, and after we'll get into some Bible lessons. This is more of a practical thing, just something on my heart. But I remember the men in our church, the median age of our church. When I came here, I was 33. And I would say the median age of our church for the first 5 or 6 years was maybe 5 or 6 years either side of my age. And a lot of times that's what tends to happen in a church. A pastor will attract his age to the church. That's why it helps to have men like Caleb Hansen, who are 24, and Jorge, who are 27, you know, Brother Jason, who's 30 now, you know. You'll lose touch with the younger crowd if you're not careful. And so, but it seemed like most of the men in our church were between age 26, 27, and 38, 39. That was kind of the median range age. We had very few gray-haired men. I mean, you know, Jack Lewis is 75 years of age now. Back then, he was 59. Think about that. You know, we think we tease Joe Griffin about old age. Joe will be 62 next month. Joe was younger when I came here. Joe is now, no, that's what I was going to say. When I came here, Joe was younger than I am now. You know, Joe was 45 when I came here, 46 when I came here. And so, you know, but in 16 years, you know, now, if you're 20 and you add 16 years, 36, you're still pretty sharp health-wise, physically. But when you start at 33 and you add 16 years, when you start at 38 and you add 16 years, now you're into your 50s, late 50s, sometimes early 60s. I tell you what, your perspective on your health begins to change. We still have a lot of younger men in this church, and I'm glad that we do. In fact, the biggest growth recently in our church has been in the kids' Sunday school, the toddler Sunday school, and the baby nursery. I mean, it's just poof. Now, that's good. That's healthy. Amen. That's good. That means we got, you know, not a lot of 50-year-old guys having babies here. Amen. Yeah. Brother Maxwell watched your two boys yesterday, and he said, I understand now why God gives you children when you're young. Amen. How old are you, Tim? 23. You know, Dan, Michael is how old? Four? Two and a half, and how old's Miles? So a 2.5 and a 9-month-old for a 23-year-old fella, you know. But Brian's 48, you know, so he's not used to that. So, you know, it just, we have a lot of younger men, but we have a group of men that is aging. Now, we're not old, you know, we're not stuck away in a nursing home yet. Don't put us there. We got a lot of life to live yet. But I'm simply saying, all of a sudden you start thinking about your health. You start asking, you know, you start wondering about your health. Maybe it's because of the age factor. It could be because of the stress factor that is building in society today. I've said before, the average workload on a man is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. The corporate slim down has increased demands on those that have kept their jobs. You know, I remember Mike Johnson saying some, you know, I think there was like 18 or 20 guys in their work group 15, 14 years ago. Now there's 12. The workload hasn't diminished. The workload is the same or it's even increased, but less guys to do it, okay? That creates stress. You know, the supervisors have increased pressure on them, which in turn is passed down to those whom they are over. And then you take in marriage and you bring in children and you bring in church and you bring in work and you bring in just a house, the upkeep of a house, an air conditioner going out, everything else going on, your refrigerator, your stove, your oven, so forth and so on. You know, you add all that, the miscellaneous matters. The miscellaneous matters, all of those things add up to a pretty full life. And learning to balance them all is at times like walking a tightrope. It really is. It's like walking a tightrope. And when you're young, when you're in your early 20s, mid-20s, you know, you just have the outlook that everything I touch in life is going to turn to gold. There's no pessimism. You know, it's optimistic. It's just, you know, it's all, nobody ever gets married and plans on failure. You know, you don't go into marriage thinking, oh, no, how am I going to balance everything? It's, yippee, I'm married, you know, I'm not single anymore, okay? But, you know, Spurgeon said, you know, it's like crossing a river. It's like crossing a river, you know, and in the middle of the river is where it's the deepest. And it's where the water's flowing around your neck. It's where the current sometimes is the strongest can tow you away. In that midlife area between 35 and 55. You know, the demands, you're not quite got all the kids out of the house yet. And boy, as they become teenagers, they develop a schedule and a life that takes on a life of its own. And it just more demands on a man's time and so forth and so on. So it just could be the stress. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. We have a lot of conveniences today. But I'll promise you that convenience has created complexity. Convenience has created complexity. The inconvenience of days gone by brought a certain simplicity to life. It really did. You think about, you know, the things that we consider inconvenient. Okay? You know, it didn't take a whole lot to take care of an outhouse. But everybody here has had to repair a toilet. Now, I'm not for the outhouse. I like the toilet just fine. Amen. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. When the toilet goes bad, you got to fix it. Okay? You think back to the old days. Everything closed at 5 or 6 p.m. Because the people didn't used to go anywhere. There's no place to go. Everything was closed at 5 or 6 o'clock. Now, I'm talking years ago. Okay? Things were closed. I mean, I'm not that old. I remember when businesses were closed on Sunday. You couldn't buy a gallon of gas on Sunday. You know? So, life is much more. Now, is it convenient to be able to run to Walmart at 9 o'clock at night if you need to? Sure it is. But it's more complex. Okay? I mean, you think about it, you know, it's just gotten more and more complex. You weren't trying to drive, talk on the cell phone, write down notes, and drink a Coke at the same time, like we are today. You know, and you think about evolution. We talked, mentioned this before, you know, evolution says we've gotten better and better. We dropped off things that we didn't need, took on things that we did need. You ever think about how handy a tail would be if you still had it? You know, you could drive, keep both hands on the wheel, talk on the cell phone, keep one hand on the wheel, one hand on the Coke, put the cell phone in the tail, you know, come to the door with two arms full of groceries and open the door with your tail. I mean, you know, three arms. You heard about that kid that had three arms this week? I don't know. Maybe not so bad. I'm just saying life has gotten, convenience has created complexity. Meals could not be ready in 3 minutes. Or they couldn't be purchased through a window. Now, it's convenient to get a meal ready in 3 minutes if you need it. It's convenient to go by the window and get a meal if you need it. But life is more complex because of that. Convenience has created complexity. You know, maybe the idea of the busy bionic man has created a mentality that says, you know, if a man is not busy 24/7, then he's not a real man. Man, if you're not busy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we have the idea that, you know, we must be on the go, rushing from one project or rushing from one event to the next. Take 15 minutes to gulp down a meal. Somebody said it's what we eat. And I suggest, maybe that has something to do with it, but I suggest it's also how we eat. We don't take time anymore. I mean, it's rush in, consume it, and go. You know, that can't be good for our health, okay? I'm not sure we are made to function in that manner. Day after day, day after day, day after day, week after week after week after week after week. I'm not sure that our bodies are created to function in that matter, in that manner at all, okay? So let me make a few comments this morning concerning this matter of work and rest. Almost anymore, if you ask a man, what'd you do last night? Man, I kicked my feet up and didn't do anything. It's almost like we're embarrassed. We're ashamed. You know, I didn't do anything. Should we be embarrassed? Is there any need to feel like we're less than a man because we got some R-E-S-T? Rest? I mean, I want the men of this church, and I want, and it's not just for you, I want to enjoy all the years that God's given me. And I want to be healthy to enjoy them if I can. And I'm not, you know, sometimes sickness is a lot, is a man, it's a lot in life. You know, you take Caleb Hansen's dad. Caleb Hansen's dad is the size of Caleb, maybe an inch taller. You know, the guy had what? Open heart surgery, 4 bypasses. You know, he had his heart attack after he did 120 sit-ups. I mean, he's incredibly in physical shape. So that's not always what brings these things on, you know. But I just, sometimes it's just our lot in life to have physical problems. But there are, I think, that the day and age in which we live, I think we need to give some attention to it. A lot of you guys are still in your mid-20s, early 30s. And if you're like I was, I never thought about it. For years and years and years and years. Now I think about it. And now when my friends are, you know, 48 years of age in the ministry and having heart attacks, and when John Hankses are dropping over dead at age 58, all of a sudden, whoa. You know, I still, you know, I got to get to 58. That's when Cherith gets out of high school. Yeah, I mean, I'm serious, you know. So I got to get that far. You know, I don't have to, but I've asked God to leave. I've asked God to let me see them all get married and be established. God knows what He knows. I mean, He knows when my time is up. He knows when your time is up. But I just don't think, let me say two or three things this morning in the 15 minutes I have left. Number one, first of all, there is a need for a healthy work ethic. There's a need for a healthy work ethic. I am not advocating laziness. I think you fellows know that. God created man to work 6 days out of 7. That's what He created man to do. 6 days shalt thou labor. That's how God established in a perfect environment. God created man to labor for 6 days. All right? So He created man to labor 6 days out of 7. Now, our mentality is, well, let's cut that down to 5 or 4. That's what everybody's wanting to do now. You know, let's labor 4 or 5 days, okay? But God did expect man to work 6 days out of 7. But let me ask you a question. When you think about those days, do you really suppose Adam was in that garden 15 to 16 hours a day? And what kind of artificial light would there have been for him to work all night and burn the candle at both ends? The truth of the matter is, fellas, our forefathers got up at the break of dawn and worked till dark. But think about what that was. In some cases, that's 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night. Now, they put in a good long day. Okay, and that's okay, but I'm just saying, there are some men who need, when the sun set, the light was gone, and work was done. They came in. Now, you can go back and think about that for a while. Let that run through your mind, how that used to be. All right? And now, you know, I work second shift. I work third shift. And I'm going to tell you something. I after working third shift, I know why God made nighttime for sleeping. You know, I think, Marty, you're still on third shift. And you can get somewhat used to it, you know. You get used to it somewhat. But I'll tell you what, nighttime was made for sleeping, you know. But we don't live in that world anymore. Okay, our world is 24/7, round the clock. The work world is going all week long, all day long, 24 hours a day. But you think about it. I'm sure there are some men. I don't know many here. I tell you what, I don't know if there's any lazy men in our church. There might be three or four. There might be a young man or two, but not many. There are some men who might need to develop a healthy work ethic, but there are some young men. There are some older men. You know, when you're 18 to 35, burning the candle at both ends. Hey, man. When I was in school, I could get 3 hours of sleep a night for days on end. 3 hours of sleep a night for days on end. And eventually I wore out. You know what? One good eight-hour night cured me. If it was eight, it might have been seven. You know? I was cured. Now, you know, it takes, you know, 8 days to recover. Amen. You know? So there's possibility. But when you get to that age group, when you get up around 38, and in your 40s and in your 50s, and I'm not saying you're done in life, get ready for a wheelchair and a cane. I'm not saying that at all. Obviously, look around, okay? But I am saying you got to be careful about burning the candle at both ends. You know, it's possible to have a good work ethic and still find the rest that God intended for you to have. And that was my second point. There is a legitimate need for rest. You know, we didn't create rest. God did, okay? He had the Israelites rest on the seventh day under some very strict rules. Now, part of that was because of what the day represented, set aside for God, for the Sabbath day. Okay? So part of that was for that. But part of it was for the physical rest, too. They labored for 6 days. It was time to catch their breath. I do not believe that God made these bodies to function at peak efficiency around the clock. There must be a time when you rest. And there's nothing degrading to your manhood about that, fellas. Okay? If you don't get some of that, if you don't get it when you need it, you're going to, man, you might take some years off your life. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You know, rest involves both your mental and physical faculties. By the way, when we use the word rest, we're not always talking sleep. The Bible tells us love not sleep. It's very possible to love sleep and be in the bed too long. And there's nothing more disgusting than a man that just flip-flops around in the bed. That's just disgusting. So rest doesn't necessarily mean sleep, but it does involve your mental and physical faculties. These 12 men had been on a trip that demanded they be around lots and lots of people. Their work for all those days was people, 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 people. Watch it. Jesus said, come apart and rest for a while. You know what he did? He gave them a diversion. They didn't go sleep. He gave them a diversion that consisted of being away from crowds of people. In other words, I'm going to take you away from what you have been doing and give you something else different to do. They didn't just go roll up in cots and sleep. All right? So one man's work is another man's diversion. And that's how you get rest in some cases. The computer is work to some. It's diversion to another. You know, changing oil is work to some, while to other men, that's a diversion. Changing oil to me is a diversion. There is rest in changing oil. Now, I don't do it very often, but I did. We got that pickup truck now, and I said, Luke 16, he's past time knowing how to change oil in a truck. And I don't have to pay $20 to get the oil changed there, you know. But, you know, when I showed him how to change the oil, it was rest to me. It really was, because that's a diversion from what I normally do. It was rest to my mental faculties, rest to my physical, even though it was more physical labor to do that. It was rest. Does that make sense to y'all? Because it's diversion, okay? The hammer and screwdriver is work to some while being diversion to another. You know, driving a vehicle is work to some. To others, it may be a diversion. Rest may not mean sleep, but if you sit in a desk, office all day long, you know, behind a desk. It may be restful to get in your car and go on just a little cruise around the area. See the trees. Take a look at nature a little bit, okay? We're not talking about laziness. We're not talking about sleeping all day, okay? We're talking about diversion. You can rest while working if it is diversionary and not under time constraint. If it's a diversion. Rest can be playing with your kids. And that takes energy. But when you get done, you're not tired. Oh, you may be tired, but you're not drained. In fact, you feel a little bit re-energized because you got a little diversion. Rest can be working in a garden, even though it's sweating. For a guy like me, you know, who's in an office or with people with this on, you know, to get behind the, you know, somebody said the best place to grow a garden is at the end of a hoe. And that's the truth. You know, to get in a garden and sweat, I mean just sweat and get filthy, it's like, yahoo, it's like I've been to Six Flags. I mean that. It is. And I'm not just kidding. It's diversion. If I can take a Friday, lately, Brother Don and I were talking about this today, Fridays have just been incredibly busy in the church work, and that's okay. You know, you don't plan people's hospital visits and people's funerals and stuff like that not to happen on Friday, you know. But this past Friday, we both had a day where we were pretty much away from here. I came here for about an hour Friday morning, and then it was done. And, man, when I could be around the house, I mean just labor. Labor, 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 nonstop. When I get done at the end of the day, I may be physically tired, but I'm refreshed. I'm refreshed. It's been diversion. Rest can be taking a walk with your wife. Rest can be sitting on the porch or in the backyard. You know, if you got a chance to watch the sunset, that can be rest. Rest can be reading a good book. Rest can be some good form of recreation. Well, trouble with recreation is things like golf, it gets expensive. Things like, you know, those type of things, it gets expensive. There are ways to create diversion without it costing you a bunch of time. And I'll promise you, fellas, you know, too many guys, it's television, and that's not really, that's more like being a squash, you know, or just, you know, it's involving yourself in something diversionary, different than what your job requires. Okay, now, it's not possible to do that every day. But at some point in time, you are not wrong to have diversion. You know, we've created this mentality that we can't do this. We've got to be this bionic man going 24/7. Zip, 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 zip. You know, who said that? You got Jesus here telling these 12 men, you come aside. It's time to get some rest. Let me say this this morning. A proper amount of exercise is vitally necessary. Boy, I didn't do that when I was young. You know, when I was young, I could eat anything, any amount, and never gain a pound. Now all I got to do is look at it. When I was in Bible college, and Jim Wing and Phil Winfield and I were remodeling those Sunday school rooms on State Street up there during the summer, we would take a break. All three had good jobs, good paying factory jobs. I mean, back in the late 70s, before the crunch hit here in town. And I took a pay cut to go to Marion Avenue. I was making good money at the factory up here. Man, we used to break for lunch. We'd go to Wendy's every day. We'd get a triple with everything. A large fry, a large Frosty, a large chili, and a large pop. I kid you not. Every day. Eat it, never gain an ounce. Never gain a pound. I mean, day after day after day after day. If I look at a Frosty right now, I'm gaining 3 pounds, man. If I just look at a Frosty, I'm gaining 3 pounds. Exercise. You know, over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, about bodily exercise profiteth little. So he said, bodily exercise doesn't do you much good. That's not what the verse is saying. He says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness exercises itself not only in this life, but in the life to come. He's comparing the profits, the benefits of bodily exercise versus godliness. And when he says bodily exercise profiteth little, what he's saying is it profits for this time, now. Godliness profits you for this time and eternity. Okay? So if I give all the emphasis to the physical, being as physical as I can be, I'll get some benefit from that. But if I'm not spiritual, all that physical emphasis won't help me for eternity. Spiritually, it will help me. If I exercise godliness, it'll help me now and throughout eternity. Okay? But you can't read into that bodily exercise is worth nothing. bodily exercise does profit for now. It profits in this life. It doesn't hurt you, fellas, to get into the routine of doing some simple exercises around the house. You know, and when you get older and that constant running. And I used to, when I was younger, that running, I used to feel like, I can't walk. I just can't. Well, I'm not made to walk. Something about going out there walking, that's for weenies. But your ankles get where they can't take the running. The pounding, the knees. I don't mind a good brisk walk now. And sit-ups. And things like that. It doesn't hurt you to have some kind of physical exercise. If your job has you sitting a lot, you ought to be doing something to strengthen your back muscles. And I remember when my dad had to do that. They told my dad, it's back surgery or exercise. And buddy, he never missed. He hit those exercises and he never had to go under the knife for his back. So it does benefit you. If you don't have a physical job, a manual job, manual labor, it benefits you to exercise. A proper amount of exercise is necessary. Number four, a good diet is necessary. And supplemental vitamins are a help with nutritional needs as you get older. Yeah, they cost a little bit. Okay? But what's that compared to having to enjoy your life? And I think guys can overdo it. But a little supplemental nutritional value in vitamins, if you get good vitamins. Now, you can't invest in some of that cheap stuff. It just goes right through your body and gone. But some good vitamins. I never thought about this stuff when I was younger. Never did. Never on my mind. Okay? Let me say this. I still don't do this a lot. Number five, there are reasons to visit the doctor. There are reasons to visit the doctor. Look at me. Let's be honest with you. If you're passing blood, you need to go see the doctor. That's not playing around, fellas. You're passing blood. You know, it may be something minor, but I'll tell you what, it may not be. You know, Brother Hanks, okay, three Saturdays ago, he died. I was at the golf outing. I went out to make a visit. I left the golf outing to make a visit down by St. Anne, Beaver Creek Village. I was on my way to make that visit three Saturdays ago when Scott called and said, my dad's had a heart attack, quit breathing, can you go to the hospital? We did a U-turn in the road and headed back to St. Mary's. Dr. Hanks, his son, oldest son, David, had been in China for 10 days on business. He came in on Friday night. They were visiting Saturday morning at the house. Brother Hanks had a doctor's appointment that morning, Saturday morning. He looked at his family and said, you know what, I can go to the doctor on Monday. Let's go eat. He said it the day he died. Now, it's a macho thing, and nothing more disgusting than to go to the doctor, spend 2 hours waiting to see the doctor, have him come in for 120 seconds and charge you $75 and give you a prescription. Well, you got to, you know, and I don't say run to the doctor for everything. I don't. But there are times when it's necessary to go to the doctor. If you're having chest pains, you need to see the doctor. If you're passing blood, you need to see the doctor. Men don't like to. But fellas, if it can be caught early, it can be helped. Many, many times. There are reasons to visit the doctor, okay? It's not a loss of manhood if you schedule a doctor's appointment. Okay? Just not. Number six, at some point, you got to determine priorities. Now, let me say this. Eventually, you're going to have more to do than you can get to. Eventually, you're going to have more to do than you can get to. I look back as a young man, that wasn't true. But eventually, you're going to have more to do than you can get to. So what do you got to do? At that time, it's critical that you establish priorities. You establish priorities. What's your priorities? Your wife? Your children? I'll tell you something. You got to make a decision. Maintaining a well-groomed, manicured lawn or doing something with my kids? Turn the lawn into a baseball field. Don't worry about how it looks. Play with your kids. Okay? You know, my wife admitted this after the fact, some years ago. I'd come home and take Ben outside and play wiffle ball. She'd be aggravated that I wasn't trimming the bushes. I play wiffle ball with Ben. Now, you know, every time he writes me a letter and talks about the past, he said, boy, Dad, thanks for playing wiffle ball. Now, he learned how to work in that game, but there were times when it was time to do something different. Okay? Every man's going to have eventually more to do than you can get to. And then you got to establish priorities and decide, okay, this is the priority. If I got to choose between this and this, and I got so much time, I got to give it to this. I'm just saying, fellas, it's a lot of you are that late 20s, early 30s, it doesn't get on your mind. But when you get a little older, health is going to be a big issue to you. Start now. Amen. Come apart before you come apart. Come apart before you come apart. That's what Jesus told these men.